Yeah, I was just checking how many people we have. I think
10 so far, including yourself.
I think I'm missing. Yeah, I think we're good to start. Sorry.
Daylight
So look.
saving has happened.
No, not yet, I think.
Not in Europe.
The 14th, I think, in America.
Oh, it's next week. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, as far as I know. I looked it up last week or 2 weeks ago. Okay, welcome everybody to the weekly meeting for the Configuration and Persistence Service of what is today, the 12th of March, 2021. Just a quick look at the agenda first. I moved, sorry, this, yeah, we do the regular software status first, but then we'll go straight to the network slicing because Swami and Krishna want to present something and they only have time for the first hour. If we have time, I'd like to get some team feedback on our way of working that I try to document and maybe a discussion on bug handling. We have one bug now that has been requested to be dropped back to H. So I want a bit of a discussion on the process and which bugs we choose for that. Yes, I'm also considering moving this meeting back to 1 hour so we can see at the end of the meeting if we're within the 1 hour and what people think then. We can change that. And as Tony mentioned there, next week, we just people pay attention that the schedule might have changed. I'm not 100% sure whether this meeting is tied to UTC or not, but we'll find out next week. Does anybody have something else they want to bring up for the agenda? We can edit it now. If not, we'll go straight to the software status. I changed the setup of the software status a tiny bit. I hope this works a bit better. You see in a minute what I need, what I mean. Okay, if you just highlight the bugs first, Niamh, please. Thanks. So these are the ongoing bugs. Do we have Aditya in the meeting? Yes, we have Aditya and Bruno. So maybe you can give us the latest on the top two bugs.
The first one, when I created yesterday when I was testing another change. So just in this case, when we are creating twice the same data model, we get internal server error instead of clear explanation and status code for the error. So
Yeah,
the one I
apologies.
reported.
I recognize now that's not Aditya's icon. That's Neve. Actually, Neve has already taken this book, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, so even I have updated some comments on this. So I think what Bruno has reported is one issue, but there are other issues as well, which is reporting 500 exception status code. So I have included that as well in the comment section. So probably when Neve is working on this, she can also look at the comments as well.
Yeah, maybe it might be needed that we have a quick chat time with a few people just to confirm what the scope of this bug is, that we're clear on that.
Okay.
But we can take that outside this meeting. The explosion of the stack trace, I think you closed that today, Neve. You're about to close that, I think.
Yeah, I will close on it.
Okay. And then Ruslan, you've been working on moving the security configuration to the application module. I thought that was also completed, or what's the status of that?
Yes, I provided the final change, so it's in review state.
Oh, in review still. I thought it was ready to be merged already. Okay, just make sure that people will get to that on the other screen. We'll see and make sure that people review that. Thank you for that. So then the regular work, Aditya, you're currently working on. I thought that was finished.
There's still that one
Oh, sorry, I always mix this up
review
with something else.
pending,
Yeah.
review pending. So that's why we have not been able to close this. So I even checked with Sylvian and he was saying that there's some issue with the OM because of which they are not able to merge anything new. So once that bug is fixed, then only they will be taking up any new reviews. So I think we'll have to still wait. But at
Yeah.
present, we are not doing any work on this. We are just waiting for it. That
Okay.
remove, that I can definitely, that I'll close now.
Yeah, I forget. In this Jira, we don't have a status blocked. I was going to say set it to status blocked, but we don't have that in this particular Jira, I think. No, you're right. And RC0 has been postponed for a week because of that bug in OOM. I'm still curious because they have 40-odd commits and they take four to 5 hours each of them to verify. So if I do the multiplications, I think you need more than a week. But maybe they have some other way of doing several at the same time.
Yeah, and ours is verified, so I don't think that should be an issue because I see the Bruno's change. We also have the gating results, so it should be easier to merge. Rishi's not yet verified.
Okay. No, I think, they are being verified by the job, but at least for one of the one I'm working on, I still have question for Christophe, and so it means that I'm expecting that there is still work to be done. So maybe one it could be ready to merge if no feedback, more feedback. Yeah, the other one will require more.
But that is not in CPS 175, right? That's another story.
No, this the other one we put outside. You're right.
Okay, and removing the weak cryptography. That's what's the status of that, Aditya?
That I will move to closed. It's the code has been merged, so I'll just close.
Yeah. There's one more issue that's got to do with zip files. I'll point it out when we get to the SonarQube thing. Maybe if you could look at that next, but I'll show you that in a minute.
Today I was working on the demo which is there internally. So I'll try to have a look later today.
We'll see who's available, Aditya. We'll see who's available. Don't worry. Okay. Bruno, if you want to go next.
Still have the two OM one that are pending. And for the Sonar password, for now I didn't add more on this because also I see that in Russian also include the proposition he have that I think that, that that's good for to handle the properties, but he also included in the change to enable basic authentication for NF proxy. So if his change goes, there's I don't want to make it to make the work twice. So if I'll see if his change goes, I'll be able to close this one.
Oh, okay, I understand now. Yeah, that's basically the same codes included which in what Ruslan is moving. So then you can abandon the commit you have open. Yeah. Okay. That's
good. Just waiting for his change to see if it will go. It will go. Yeah.
Okay. And then you already mentioned exposing of the endpoints. You're still working with Sylvain or Christophe to finalize that, correct?
The two other, but it, yeah, the two other are the two security that are put in, one is not. I should remove submitted for the HTTPS because there is work with OM team for this one. So I'll update the status.
Okay.
I'll move it back to Intel.
Thank you,
That's it.
Okay, thank you, Bruno. I'm not sure if Hanif joined us. I don't think he did. He did say he wasn't feeling well. So, I think this is close. We'll see that in a minute. We'll get back to the moment we see the Sonic himself. So let's move on to Neve.
Yeah, so as we discussed previously, this can be closed, this bug. I'm currently working on this and we'll push the review later today to fix the internal server error when creating a data node twice. And for the vertical slice example, I have created a diagram that's a work in progress.
Okay. Yeah, just on that first bug 290, just check with Aditya and maybe with a few others as well that the scope is clear because I think, but maybe your solution does address all the issues. We just need to make sure of that. Because if they're very similar, there's no point in opening new books again.
Okay.
And maybe one comment also, Nif. So I think this is the kind of bug also, maybe when we fix them, we could also add a unit test to validate them and also be sure that they are not coming back. I think this one is a good candidate for adding some unit tests for that.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point.
Sorry, just taking a quick note here. Richie, you want to go next? Do we have Richie on the line?
Yeah. So I was working earlier on. So the OM review, it's not been merged. I had to make some changes for Liquibase earlier this week. But I see Catherine closed the issue because the ticket says just deliver it to the integration team. So that ticket is closed by Catherine. And now I'm working on this ticket, which is just to deploy using the OM charts local minimum possible components that CPS can run with, like the common and a few other charts. So I'm working on a mini tube on that. So and maybe I'll just document it. And we also have this session planned with Bruno. So maybe this and that combined. So we can just share the OM knowledge across the team with that.
Okay. There you go. Thanks, Richie. So Ruslan, you're still working on. So the security we talked about and the documentation.
Documentation, I provided the updates according to the feedback. So I updated the image, the diagram as well. So it's currently in review state. The investigation on schema mount is in progress.
Okay, very good, thanks.
Hanif has joined.
I saw that, yeah. Well, we'll get back to those later anyway.
So, hi.
Hi,
I think this has been merged, and I think I need to move this to open ticket again. So, yeah, I'll be doing that. And
yeah, we leave this one. We always leave this open. That is correct. This is a recurring ticket, so you can leave it open. You can unassign it from yourself. That's probably the best thing.
Okay. I'll do that.
Okay. Thanks. Do you have something else, Hanif?
Yeah, I'll be working on the other ticket as well, which is about finding out the APIs required by the network slicing use cases.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll be doing that.
Yeah, maybe it's, I'm not sure if you make sure you have set it in progress and assigned it to yourself, then it should be coming up in this diagram.
Yeah, actually, I did not set it in progress, but it's assigned to me already.
Yeah, but do set it in progress as well. The moment we start studying, and this is why I have the ways of working on the agenda as well today to clarify those kind of things with everybody. Yeah. Okay, for myself, I'm just tracking the documentation for the release purposes. I'm not really working on it. I've been working on the backlog reviews and some design work in the background as well. Apart from that, I have not much to report. We already talked about IC0 is being postponed, which gives us a bit of leeway. But yeah, it doesn't really affect us anyway. We're working on the master branch for the next release, but we need to start finalizing our requirements, but we get to that with the next points on the agenda. So if you want to open the other screens, Nif, I think you have them ready already. So this is, I forget now. Is this the new filter, is it? Yeah, sorry, it's a different view than I use myself. I'm not sure why it shows so differently. The completed work, is that correct, Nif?
Yeah, this is supposed to be completed work.
Yeah, for some reason, when I created this filter, it looked very different in my view. I'm not quite sure what's different here. Maybe you're in edit mode or something like that. Basically, this is, I'm a bit put off by that now. So if you so order it by type, that's the way it should have come up. Because the other view, you just click on the type and it sorts it on that. Leave it for now. It's okay, Anif. Sort that later. But these are just to complete the task. We can skip all the blue ones to give an overview of what we did complete. Now, there's a lot of tasks there that were just for the RC0 milestone, so they were closed. You can see the bugs there about proxy not starting, data not being persisted. So a lot of the bugs have been closed as well. Everything that we felt was necessary for RC0 has been closed. And then there should be a few green ones. We did a performance review of the database implementation. Some advices come out of that, and we created a user story to follow that up, but nothing urgent, basically. And if you go back to the top, Niamh, the error reporting, you worked on that yourself. I think that's it. So these are the tasks that were completed. I hope to sort the issue with the view next time around, and it'll be a bit more obvious what we've completed. So what's open? So this is clear. So as Ruslan said, he's just updated the document, so people can please review that. Tony, you're reviewing that as well. I suppose you have no problems with reviewing and own up that works fine for you, does it?
That works absolutely fine, yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. And the bug fix is there as well. So people please review that, and hopefully we can merge it soon. And then the last one, that's the one you might abandon, correct, Bruno?
Yes.
Yeah. So maybe, yeah, just keep it in mind, people. I'm not sure if we should flag that somehow. Maybe set it as work in progress so people don't need, it's obvious they don't need to review it. So just the two from Ruslan needs to be reviewed, basically. Then if you open the SonarCube page, please, Niamh. Yeah, thanks. So we had 5 security hotspots, or even 6, I think, at some stage. We had a bug, so we've been addressing all those issues. We still have 2 security hotspots left. I think one will be addressed by Bruno's fix, but now also by the patch that Russell is submitting. And I just want to share this one, the second one. If you click on others there, Niamh. Yeah, so we have this. So we have this option in our system to upload a zip file and get every entry from it. So if you click on how can you fix it, so SonarCube is recommending to do some checks here to prevent being bombed with large files, basically. So I think somebody should have a look at this as part of that user story that we already have to fix the security hotspots. Now we might decide we don't do this, and then we just stick a label on it for ignore, but we might also implement the compliance solution that's there. It doesn't look too tricky, but yeah, we might have to make some decision on the numbers, on the size of files that we accept and that are possible. I think that's the intention of the security fix that they suggest there. So somebody can basically create a subtask on the existing one and possibly take that. I'll probably create a subtask and add it to the backlog. But the user story is there in the backlog anyway to fix all the security hotspots. If you get back to the overview, Niamh, for a second in SonarCube. So everything else is looking very good. The code smells, we probably should. They're mainly about duplication, which is actually reducing a little bit because of some good refactoring that we did recently. But there are also some genuine code smells in there that probably should be addressed. So people just can have a look at that when possible. But apart from that, we're in a very clean state of health and good for gold standard. So that's great. Let's try to keep that up. Okay, I think then now we'll move on to end-to-end slicing. And I think Swami and Krishna wanted, you have a presentation you want to run, Swami, is that correct?
Tuam. Yeah, Krishna and myself, we'll go through we have a few slides prepared. We'll just go through that.
Who do you want me to give rights? I'll give you co-host anyway. Does Krishna need it too?
I could share it then, yeah.
Yeah, okay, you should have rights now, thanks.
Yeah, maybe I'll just go over the first couple of slides and then I'll request Krishna to take over. Maybe Krishna, you can interrupt me wherever you want to add something.
Yes, Swami.
Yeah, so we prepared this with the intention of like taking it subsequently, I mean, after getting the feedback from the people on this call, to subsequently take it to the ARCOM in one of the upcoming meetings to seek some feedback and advice in terms of where, I mean, what will be a good home, let's say, if you may call it that, for the TBMT, TBDMT microservice. So currently it's part of the CPS, but do we want to host it in the long term also as part of CPS? So that is something that we would like to seek some feedback. So one of the things that we thought we should start with this, what is the motivation for this, for creating this microservice? So like, as we all know that one of the main motivations for this is to abstract or to, let's say, hide the complexities associated with the XPath queries to the CPS consumers, which may be like multiple modules in ONAP. So they might be doing the same bit of coding in terms of, let's say, forming those queries. And in some cases for the data they want, I mean, as maybe as a layman who is familiar with, let's say, SQL queries, for one SQL query, it might finally land up, or it might end up in like multiple XPath queries because of the way the Yang model is constructed. So all these complexities could be avoided by the use of this particular microservice. That's the whole thing. And the other aspect is it may be also a little too much for all the consumers to be aware of the Yang model of the specific XNF to perform a configuration query or update. I mean, it might be very logical, for example, like a component like the SDN controller, which is like closely interacting with, let's say, the network, to have that awareness of the data model. But for example, if you look at, let's say, the optimization framework, or even for that matter, like SO, right? It might be, at least our perspective is, yeah, these modules need not be aware of the Yang model itself. So they should be able to fetch or update the data in the configuration database, or the services that CPS provides, without getting into the Yang model related aspects. And the approach that we are taking here is that we should avoid the awareness of the Yang models to the consumers, and any multiple queries, I mean, spanning even across multiple models in some cases, those are some of the things that this TBDMT service would have to take care of in terms of like maybe fetching, I mean, doing a query, and then based on the result of the first query, or based on some of the contents in the first query's response, do a subsequent query, right? So all these things should be taken care of by this TBDMT. However, it should not be hard-coded. Maybe to start with, maybe some of the things might be hard-coded, but the idea is that it should all be like template-driven and the request-driven. So that's the whole idea, so that it can be used for any particular, I mean, any query in the future. And the architecture, okay, we didn't know what exactly to put apart from what is shown in this figure. If you have any suggestions, I mean, you can definitely share with us. So one of the things that we wanted to demonstrate was the way the query is happening. So today we don't have the XNF proxy in a full-fledged way, but eventually when the XNF proxy or the Recryzend NCMP is available, this should be the path for the TBDMT to query for anything related to the network function related data. However, there may be some data that is like not associated to, let's say, one particular network function. For example, a DU to cell mapping. So this you may not find in that particular network function, or for example, a tracking area list to, I mean, tracking area to cell mapping, right? So these kind of things are required at ONAP level, but not relevant from any particular network function's point of view. So these things, we expect that the query has to be done by the TBDMT directly to the CPS core. Now, who will be the owner? So this is something that we have brought it up for maybe for discussion, which we can see maybe in one of the subsequent slides. So maybe any questions up to this point before Krishna then takes over?
No, I don't have any questions. That's a pretty clear motivation of what it is.
Sabi, I had one question. This is Anif here. You said, okay, that we don't need to know about the young file specification, the consumer needs actually. So in case like you have different versions of young file for the same name, okay, then because if say there are two different PNFs with different young specifications of the same, different revisions actually, then in that case, we need to be aware of, okay, what young has to be used, right? Because they may be, they might be of different versions. So one young file of the say a different region might not work on the other PNF or VNF. So
So there are different aspects. Maybe Dhuvan and Krishna, you can correct me for this. So it will depend on. Part of it could be codified in the template, but also it will depend on which NF you are querying. And if based on that, the TBDMT would have to call the, let's say, the correct, should invoke the correct XPath query on the correct model, Hanif.
Okay.
So effectively, the templates are named or keyed on two pieces of information. One is the version or the type of the network function. And the second is the name of the template. So if you wanted to create a cell, it's not enough to know that you want to create a cell. You also need to know that it's a Nokia or Huawei network function, because they will have potentially different Yang modules describing them, and that will in turn dictate the. Yeah. So that's the key part of the template. It uses those two pieces of information to uniquely identify the XPaths and the queries that are required, and it gives you that level of flexibility.
Tony, my question is not about having two different operators kind of systems, kind of Yangs or something. For example, let's say Ericsson has two different versions of E0B or G0B, and then the firmware version might be different and exposing different APIs of different revision actually.
It's the same. It's the same thing because from the network function proxy, the NCMP, those are different things.
Okay.
So as long as we're using the CM handle, and we're able to relate that back to the VNF descriptor or the module set, so some unique identifier that identifies the type of the network function, then we can handle different revisions of the same type of network function, because they're not this. We can call them G0Bs, and that's a very loose type.
Yep.
But the actual type is a little bit more fine grained than that.
I'll just give an example for that reason.
So I think we're saying the same thing, but it's the same mechanism that we use to identify the template. It needs to tie itself, needs to be relatable to, as you say, the model revision, model version.
Okay. Fine, thanks.
Thanks. Yeah, Krishna, maybe you want to take over?
Yes, Swami. Yeah. So the slide summarizes the functions that it support, it provides. Basically, it provides us a storage for the XPath templates that we want to store. So this will be the templates API that we expose. So, and the other one is that the execution API. So this will provide an abstraction between the consumer and the CPS. Okay. So on the third point, which we did not consider till now, but we did not do the design for it, but still it will be a feature in the upcoming days. So it will be execution of multiple queries. So this will also include which query should be executed first and what are all the information that has to be derived from the first query. So those kind of things will be done by this particular function. Okay. So maybe if you go to the next slide for me, I had highlighted the APIs. So these are the APIs that are currently supported by the code now we have in the TBDMD. So one is the CRUD APIs for storing the XPath templates. So nothing fancy about it. Another one is the execution of those XPath queries. So currently it supports only execution of a single XPath query. So the third point, which we mentioned in the supportive functions, right? That has to come in as an additional feature. So in the future, maybe about that, maybe we can,
Are there parameters for that XPath query as well in the post? So when you execute IDE model, can you also specify some parameters, or how are the, that's yes, probably yes. the next slide, okay.
Yeah,
okay, perfect.
I will include an example there also, like it might be confusing as you are mentioning, Tony. Yeah, so like when we do this execution, right, I have given an example here. So let's say the ID is an RRM policy, and this is the particular Young model RAN network. So when we send the request, we'll be sending an additional parameters also. So these parameters will be populated in the XPath template. And then the XPath query will be created, and then it will be sent to the CPS. So these inputs can be decided by the one who creates these XPath templates. So if I want to, like maybe give these parameters as input, maybe I will be using a, so here we are using a Jinja template. So these are named parameters, and this will get substituted in the TBDMD. So that's how the XPath works, substitution works, yeah.
Cool, thanks.
So maybe any questions or anything?
Yes, Krishna, just to go back, if you go back to the functionality overview for a minute,
yeah,
I think of slide number 5. Yeah, I think what we're missing here is the model transformation part of the tool. Maybe we haven't really thought about that much yet, but it is definitely part of the responsibility as well, isn't it? It kind of already does, I suppose, but the interface you described, it already does transformation of the input parameters. But regarding the output, is there a transformation required, or do you think it won't be necessary when you take the output that comes from CPS?
Yes, Tan, that's an interesting point. I think like when we deal with single query, this output transformation might not be significant. But when we execute multiple queries, right? So the second query might need some input from the first query. So there we will definitely need this output transformation. I think this should be a functionality point, as you mentioned.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So with a single query, the simple scenario is you don't expect that you think the output, the way you get it from CPS, will be forwarded straight to the client of TBDMT.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah, okay.
Maybe. I mean, like there might be some minor updates, but it should not be any major work to run, I think.
Yeah, but okay. Should we mention? Yeah. No, I think from Join, should we mention?
Yeah. Definitely, we should mention it. Yeah.
So, like from the current implementation, it's directly sending whatever CPS sends. So maybe once we include this model transformation, right? Like we do this output transformation, this could be included for any type of query, right? Even if it's a single XPath query or multiple queries, we could use the same.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll include that.
Hello. I have a question here. Are there any consideration of grouping the same version of the XPath templates?
Yes. Sorry, the question was not clear.
Yeah, so is there any consideration of versioning of these XPath templates?
Currently, I think no, we are not doing any versioning for this XPath. Like anyway, so for a particular model, the XPath...
Is it independently defined by the ID that has been given there?
No, like it will be identified by both the ID and the model, a particular Young model. So,
the ID in theory could include version information. So, you could make the ID semantic.
Yes, Tony.
I was also wondering if you have, like, I think in reality you could have 20 different versions of a model that say just look at the example we're looking at here, that you could have 20 revisions of the same model that don't affect this particular XPath. So do we still need to create 20 different templates then, or can we somehow say that a template is applicable to a number of versions of a certain model?
Excellent question.
Yeah. It's time. Yeah, that's.
Yeah, I think it should be. I think it should be able to relate to multiple models or multiple versions with a single template. I mean, I'm just talking about it from a user perspective, right?
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
Templates, yeah.
You could probably do something like from and to, because version numbers have a well understood order. So we could do it that way, maybe.
Yeah, when you're adding the template, when you're doing the administration, it might be possible to specify, as Tuan says, the ranges or models, so the revisions and versions, the Yang modules that it's applicable to. It makes resolving it a little bit more difficult, but I think you can definitely work on something like that. But it's a good suggestion. It's a really good suggestion.
Yeah, Tuan, definitely, yes. Yeah. I'm just noting that down. Yeah.
I have a question. Do I need to fill all the parameters for the templates? Or are there some kind of default values for some of the variables?
I think currently we do not have that. We don't have any default values. Like, but maybe it could be included, I think.
Maybe for example, I can think of one scenario, Krishna. Maybe if I want to get like the cells, all the cells in a network, right? Maybe I will not give. I mean, details of all the cells in a network. Then maybe I will not give the cell ID for fetching the details, right?
Okay, Swami. Like, it's hard to imagine for me. Maybe let's see. Yeah, maybe there might be some use cases.
That sounds to me like a different template, to be honest.
Yeah, that's what I was also thinking. Yeah.
Okay. I'll just put it down. Yeah. Then we can.
Yeah. It could be a more advanced option when you. It's quite advanced and quite specific. I'd say then you need to know it's a collection, and if the parameter is not provided, then you will simply get it all in the collection.
If we don't have a use case for that, we don't have to add it. So like.
Because then if you start thinking like that, then people might as well use CPS core as it is.
True.
Okay. And these are some of the things that we have in the roadmap. Yeah, we'll also take the point that you mentioned, Tuan, in terms of the output transformation. That is also something we'll add.
I'm just wondering now, this is a good presentation. It describes quite well what the TBDMT is about, how it's going to work, what kind of functionality we would like to add. But what I'm missing here is if we go to the architecture committee, I suppose we're going to suggest something, whether we want to rehome it or do we want to keep it part of CPS core. Did you consider that at all? Should we consider that here, or do you just want to go to ARCOM and get their opinion and let them make the decision? I'm not quite sure.
I think it would be good to come with a proposal.
Tony, you mean that like maybe we kind of put the two options on the table and then
say which one we prefer? Yeah, I mean if we can come to an agreement, say which one we prefer. I mean, I really don't mind. As I said before, I'm in two minds as to. I mean, this is a cool piece of functionality, and even the conversation that we've just heard around it today, just underlines the fact for me that this is a really interesting and needed piece of functionality in ONAP. So I don't know whether it belongs in CPS project.
From my point of view, when we are all together joining and having those meetings and we are conversating from one thing and jumping into the other, I think we get more value having all together. That if we want to be assisting two meetings, right?
Yeah, so I think that your preference is that it's part of the CPS project.
Right, family. Right.
Okay. And Swami, where do you see it living? I mean, at the moment, it's hosted, as you say, in the CPS project.
Yeah, Tony, I mean, like my personal preference would be that it is continued to be in CPS, maybe for a little bit of a different reason, because I do not see a good other, let's say, an alternative place where it can be hosted, because I don't think it is as, let's say, intense that it should become a project of its own or a common service of its own, Tony. Because the other common place, I mean, other home could be that just like CPS, it's also a common service, maybe just like OAF or CPS, or this could be another service which other people, not just CPS, right? I mean, anybody else who wants to do such transformation, they could extend this functionality. But I don't see that happening from a practical point of view, Tony. I mean, from a theoretical point, yes, it's great. But from a practical point in terms of the, if I may say, right, overheads involved, I don't think it's getting realized. So for that reason, I would say that because right now we have a concrete usage in the CPS context, so we could still continue to be part of the CPS. But I do hear Tuan's concerns in terms of the overheads and the constraints that it puts on the resources. So for that, I don't actually have a good answer, Tony. I mean, speaking for the other side as well.
Thanks, Swami, because I was going to say, yeah, I do like the functionality, just like Tony, and I can see it helps getting CPS being accepted and being more usable for certain types of users. But yes, my concern is how do I manage the priorities and resources working on different parts, CPS Core, TBDMT, the one I still can't remember, NCMP, formerly known as NF Proxy. And we have the temporal DB as well. That's my main concern.
Well, the only way to avert that is that the projects which will consuming it need to contribute and provide resources, right? I don't think there is other way.
Yeah. So very similar to what we worked on with Wipro as part of the end-to-end slicing. So Krishna has done the legwork on this to date. So if any other requirement comes in, then I guess it would have to be resourced under a similar pattern. But I guess then it would also need, it would take some of your time, Tuan, because I think, as you've stated before, it really should be then part of the CPS project and meeting gold standards and aiming for gold standards and definitely
but also, also simply the reviews and discussions like this, even about the functionality. But reviews, for instance, especially if Krishna is the only one working on it, every commit has to be reviewed by at least three other people. So it will take time away from the other resources, unless Wipro has more resources as well.
Yeah, Tuan. I think that will be a challenge also. And in terms of any new developer coming on board, right? Because I think there will also be a little bit of a learning curve, because we don't want to end up with like all kinds of hard codings, right? That would simply destroy the purpose.
Yeah.
So they should understand the principles before they make the change, right? The actual change may not be big, but it should be done in a proper way.
Yeah, that's a good point as well, just the learning, the understanding, because now we're starting to talk about almost about four different products that people that work in the development team need to be aware of and understand and all that.
Yeah. So I think, Tony, maybe to summarize, right, I could put, what I will do is we'll try to prepare one slide where we could present the, let's say, the pros and cons of having it within CPS and not part of CPS, right? I mean, maybe we'll not make a call on where it will be hosted if it's not within CPS. We'll leave that open. And we can indicate our preference, but also the associated challenges, Tony. And then we can seek feedback from the ARCOM.
Yep, that's good. I mentioned it to Shankar last week that we might be coming with this in the not too distant. So I'm absolutely delighted to see this presentation. It is exactly what's needed to bring to the ARCOM with the proposal or the pros and cons of the alternative and the request. I guess we're looking for ideas for where there might be an alternative.
Yeah. Maybe we target for the ARCOM, not the coming Tuesday, Tony, maybe the week after Tuesday. Maybe during the course of next week, we'll share the updated PPT internally for people to comment or provide inputs.
Yeah, perfect.
Sounds like a good plan.
And very well done. Good slides.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Swami and Krishna.
Yeah, any other points? So one point we had to Tony and Tuan, in terms of this UNAP related config data, right? I mean, we didn't find a better term for it. Like, for example, like I said, right, the tracking area to TA list mapping or the TA to cell mapping. These are some things that you would not associate with any particular network function as such. But nevertheless, it is configuration data. Maybe in some sense, you can also call some of these are like planning data as well. But because there is no other, let's say, home for such data, we are looking at CPS as a good place to have such things. And in that case, should we say that the owner will be like kind of proxied by the TPDMT itself, or it shall be really the use case component that is needing this data? What should be our standard?
It has to be the use case component that is leading it. One of the components in that use case must be declared as the owner. Now, it's not essential in Honolulu, but if we do manage to get access control in Istanbul, then this will become very important.
Okay.
And as a generic component, so we've talked a lot about how we expect the TBDMT to be used by many other components. It does not make sense to try and invest it with ownership in the same way that it doesn't make sense for the CPS to be an owner of the data it persists on behalf of others. So there has to be some piece of ONAP that is allocated that ownership responsibility for the data. It can then make it a very permissive ownership and say anybody can read it, but it has to have an owner. That we told when we presented this to the TSE, we were rejected at one point because we didn't have a story on this. And there was a legitimate fear that we would have uncontrolled coupling in the data layer in the CPS. So our answer to that was this ownership.
Okay, Tony. Yeah, then we will go with that same principle. Sure.
Cool.
Okay, thanks. If there's no other questions on this presentation, then I'll say thanks, and then we'll go back to the main agenda. Neef, if you can present again, please. Just our updates. I see Hanif is gone again, but I just to let you know, basically, Steve, so we split, as we agreed last week, the study of the API methods in two, where we look at all the GET methods in one spike, which Hanif has taken, but I think he only started yesterday, and I didn't hear any specific questions yet. So if they come up and we have a few questions, we might organize a meeting if that's necessary. All the other API calls together, the put, the patch, and the delete methods, we haven't started studying those yet, but that should be the next thing. So people come available to start looking at. So that's how we're splitting that, but there's no feedback right now needed from yourselves or from us at the moment. Okay, then I'll continue. I just quickly want to show the team's way of working, which I've been documenting. So as we kind of started working a few months ago, we kind of developed a way of working, which recently has kind of, especially after the team grew and we had some issues with grooming and user stories, we formalized a little bit more how we how we groom and use label and that kind of stuff. And I thought it was only a few simple steps when I documented it. And before I knew it, I had written this quite extensive piece of text. I'm just trying to describe that the process that we kind of have been following and trying to formalize it a little bit more. And I'm basically just presenting this to the team for feedback. Just make sure that the team agrees with this way of working. It's mainly just that we start with grooming the user stories. The team agrees when the user story is groomed, that we communicate when user stories are taken from the backlog and in what order they should be taken, when you assign them to yourself, all those kind of things. Also a little bit about the review process, early reviews, all those kind of things, using the work in progress flag. Anyway, you can read it yourself there and maybe come back with comments. If you have them, just in confidence is probably the easiest, or suggestions. And then maybe we can formalize it next week, as this is the agreed way of working that week. We have actually some new joiners. I know Rahul was on the call. Is he still there? No, he seems to have gone again. I know Rahul is about to join, so and I will introduce him formally next week. I'm not quite sure when he's starting, but obviously he's already paying attention to this meeting. So we have more people joining soon as well. So I want to have this kind of formalized so we can refer back to this and people are clear on our way of working. So just for all the developers in the team to read this and please provide comments, and then we'll finalize it hopefully next week. Any questions on that? If not, we move on to, I don't think there's too much more on the agenda. Yes, bug handling. How much time? Well, we have an hour, half an hour and 6 minutes really. Yeah, this is just something I decided myself I'd like to discuss. So at the moment, we have our first proper release. We have a release branch called Honolulu. We still have to deliver RC0, I know that, but we're also getting an RC1. I'm not so familiar, maybe other people that have been working in open source projects or owners specifically longer can advise me and can tell me what is the normal process for bugs. So when do you decide to drop them back to the previous release? Who makes that decision based on what? And what is the exact process for dropping back? So I'm looking for some feedback from the team here for people that might have some experience in this, some ideas how this should be working.
From my point of view, all bug fixes that you need and cannot be applied on the previous release, you need to jerry pick it and apply it, right? As long as a new release will be done. If not, doesn't make sense, right?
So you can clarify, you said all the bugs you need, is that what you said?
Right. Right, because anyone has one.
How do you find need?
No, you need, because basically if you is applicable, you fix some bugs, you find that you have now in master branch, but it's present already on the previous release, and there's going to be another release. Then you cherry pick, you push all the time when you push, and it's merged. You cherry pick it and for the previous branch. For the previous
okay,
release,
can
right?
I give a can I give and, a concrete sorry, Claudio?
Let me continue. And, okay. The main reason is that consumers can be maintaining old version, right? And they will be able to do small bump versions. And since you are still working on master branch and you can introduce some breaking API change, or other projects we are consuming, other releases can still consume the same version they were using, but with the bug fixes on it, right? That's the main reason why you all the time you cherry pick bug fixes which are applicable.
Yeah, and that's the question I have. I think that's the hard question. What's applicable? I give you a concrete example of a bug that we just fixed. So Ben pointed out last week, actually, after the demo, that the error message that we gave what the scenario was, but the error message wasn't clear. I think it was the CPS path query. So the query works, the positive scenario works fine, But I think that's the question. Is it really a bug? We improved the error handling, basically. We said, okay, we can give a better error message when the CPL path is incorrect. And we handled it as a bug in Jira. But is it a bug that needs to be dropped back? I still question
that. But that's an enhancement, that, right? You're changing the message.
Well, that's my question. So, and that's what I'm trying to clarify.
Well, if you're returning a different type of error, then you are doing a change. So it's a bug fix. It's not, if you are logging something different, that's different, right?
It was more than, it was just changing the content of the message. We kept the same HTTP response code, but the message itself was improved.
That's an enhancement, right?
I think it's really, maybe going back to the story that should be delivered, if the acceptance criteria are not met, it's part of the current release and maybe a bug to be fixed. Maybe, not always hard to separate, but I think we need to come back to the definition of the story and the acceptance criteria to see if they are met or not to decide. But, and after, for a process point of view, it always needs to be, anyway, it needs to be done in master branch every time. And then if it's a bug, it's repeated in the release branch. Yeah. But anyway, I think the bug has to be fixed and in master branch first. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and basically okay, so we need to be sure that we don't, when we say bug fixing, it's a bug fixing on functionality, but you are not changing something in API, something that you change the behavior, and you cannot have big something like that, right? Because in that case, you're changing the API contract.
And in this case, probably the one that you were presenting seems to me a bug that can be fixed in the release, because it's not it's fixing an existing issue, doesn't change the contract, so it's a bug.
So it does need, sorry, Bruno, just to clarify, so that particular example, there was no need to drop it back to H.
I think this one could be put in H release. Same thing, same thing as the one maybe we reported about HTTP response let's say, for example, the HTTP response bug that we have, or if we go back to the definition of the error code that we define, probably these are not matching, so there are bugs also that need to be done in H release.
Okay.
But that would be my point of view.
From a point of view, all the time you can just do it. Otherwise, where you put, the limit, right? I think it's all the time you can deliver something better for the consumers. It's the way to go, right?
Yeah, but is there a lot of overhead in cherry picking and updating?
It is what it is, Tony. There is nothing we can do.
And sorry, can I ask? Then do we also need to create a new image and go to O&M and ask them to update the that as well? It seems to be a lot of overhead for every book.
But maybe it depends. Maybe in the current stage, while we are in RC0, we may have several of these, and we'll accumulate several of bug fixing in the release before doing a new. And after that, you're right, we'll have to do a new release, and also deliver and update the image. But probably at this, I'm not sure exactly about the cadence, but maybe it should be at RC0, RC1, and RC2.
I'm more thinking after that. I know we're still.
After that? Okay. Yeah.
After that,
it will be a new release and a new release to be made for everybody. But normally, also after that, the pace of the fix should slow down and. Also, it's not for all of them. Yeah, I think after the release, it should be the major one that needs to be fixed. I thought that you were talking about the current phase. That's
no, I sorry, I meant after after Honolulu okay. is completed. So after RC, is it RC3, I think, the final release?
I think the overhead will be less for Join because we will be more familiar with the whole process and we would take less time. I think okay. right now it's like looks more complicated everything because we were setting up a lot of stuff. We had a lot of things with OM and jobs, and we are setting up the project. But I think from going on from now, we should be simple, right?
Okay.
And it's you need to do it, even if it's more work or less work. At the end of the day, you will need to do it, right?
Yeah, we'd just like to mention that it's not only the error message; it's also the error response code that has changed. So just want to mention that.
Okay, so it was wrong here when it was back. So needs to be integrated and fixed.
Okay, so it's clear that that particular example is a bug then. Okay, so I think the main thing I'm hearing is, yes, every bug should be dropped back. Hopefully it will be easier in the future. I think when we decide whether something is, and you use the word enhancement, improvement there, these are options we don't really have in Jira. I know other systems where there is actually a thing like an improvement. But so it's important to decide whether something is a bug or is an enhancement when we agree to change something. Because if it is a bug, then it needs to be dropped back to the previous release. And I also assume that whoever delivers the book is also responsible for dropping it back to the previous release. Is that
correct? That's correct. That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And I have another point relating in this line. Have we decided? I wanted to send this question, but I forgot. Sorry. We should room as well. Like, how is going to be the backward compatibility life of the API? Like we're gonna be like one release in the middle, or what is gonna be the cadence of how we're gonna be handling it? It's an important subject as well.
Yeah, maybe prepare something for that next week. Claudio. Maybe prepare something for that next week that we can discuss that in more detail. The bug handling, I got some input from you. I will try to describe it maybe in our way of working. And I probably need some more input from yourselves. I'm actually also not quite sure on the dropback process, the cherry picking. I don't have experience myself. I don't know other people on the team are familiar with that. So we might just need to find out how exactly it works and describe the process maybe in a little bit more detail.
Yes, no problem.
Yep. But that's good feedback. I'm a little bit clearer now myself anyway. And as I said, I think it's important because everything that we record as a book in Jira is probably should be dropped back. So we need to be careful when we call something a book.
Yeah, now we were tweaking a little with some of this back. So, from next releases, we should be to be more clear with that.
Yeah. And still in Jira, we can make it clear because we can define which version the bug is attached to and which version it should be fixed to. So
so you can just decide. Okay, so you can say.
Yeah, but you need to all the ducks all the time with the version.
You need to kill these. Yeah.
Okay, I'll try to write something up just like I did with our Jenna way of working. I'll try to write something up for the bug handling as well. I'll probably mail you, Claudio, and a few other people to just get a bit input for that. And maybe we can review that next week as well. The upgrade is very important. I've been kind of in the back of my head. I've been started to worry about it. let's put it that way, Claudio, but I haven't really concretely thought about it. But I think it's good if you maybe prepare something for that next week and we start thinking about
it. Sure, let me take note from that. I will try to prepare something.
Very important. And yeah, that'd be great, Claudio. Because I do want to, and that's on the A of B. But before we move on, any more questions or points on the books? Or shall we just wait to flesh it out next week? Okay, then I'll write something up and we'll continue that discussion next week. And then I am proposing to bring the duration of this meeting back to 1 hour. It was kind of extended to 1 hour when we're in the middle of a lot of work and starting to work with the end-to-end slicing. But now I think we have a good routine, and I think an hour is probably enough for everybody to handle what comes up every week. So that's my proposal, to bring this meeting back to 1 hour, starting at the same time, which is 1 o'clock UTC. I hope. I'm not quite sure what's going to happen next week with the change of clocks. But yeah, that's my proposal. And I want to hear what people think. Is it okay to bring it back to 1 hour? Is that sufficient? What do people think?
It gets my vote.
Yeah, I think next week, or it was this week already, that there is some different time zone, which is save daylight for USA.
Yeah, correct.
And I think it's this week and next week, if I'm correct.
I think they're changing on the 14th. They're changing this weekend.
And then we're going to be... Yeah, but I mean, there is a gap of 2 weeks, which Europe is a different time zone with the state, and then Europe moves again to a different time zone. So we need to write down somewhere like what time will happen, because I have experienced that there is a mess all the time when that is happening and people is losing their meetings.
Yeah, this meeting has always been tagged to UTC, so it doesn't change. It's always 1300 UTC. The daylight saving time moves it. But if people use the calendar, the calendar, then I think they get the right time because it's pegged to UTC.
Okay, yeah, I was just going to suggest that, Tony, that link, I'll copy it in the chat now. It's important to use people that link. That calendar has been tidied up, and this is definitely the ultimate source for this and all our meetings. So let me put it in the chat now. And I'll put it in the minutes as well, because the chat will be gone in a couple of minutes for everybody else. But maybe you can open it then, Eve, just people, because I don't think everybody uses it. If you don't have access to this, I think Aditya was trying this the other day. You just need to register with the board. Maybe you got that, Niamh, that problem, have you? Yeah, no, that is the calendar. I usually use the week view. But this calendar, and if you click on any of them, you get, there's also a, and I use that myself, if you click on it, and the meeting, that's the green one, yeah. There's also a download event. See that button there, and that will download it in your calendar. And I presume with the correct time. I'm not 100% sure if it's tied to UTCS, but I trust Tony because he was on these meetings longer than I am.
Can define own time zone within this calendar, and it will show your time zone, like your local time in this calendar.
Are you asking or telling, Ruslan?
I am describing how I am using this calendar. So I just defined my time zone, and all the event appears in this calendar with my time.
Okay, I didn't know you could do that. I'll try it myself next. That's a good suggestion. So yeah, just watch out next week what's going to happen. But get back to the main question, and I didn't hear any objections. So then I assume everybody's happy with reducing the time for this meeting to 1 hour, the same starting time. Okay, as I don't hear any objections, I'm going to go ahead with that. Okay, and then we close it here today, unless there's anything else. Thank you for your attention, and have a good weekend, everybody.
You too. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.